Little Sleepies makes getting your kids dressed a lot easier. Their signature bamboo fabric is incredibly soft, breathable, and gentle on sensitive skin. It stretches so kids can move comfortably all day, from playtime to bedtime. Parents love the smart details too, like double zippers and fold-over mittens that make diaper changes and getting dressed faster and easier. And because Little Sleepies are designed to grow with your child, they last longer than typical kids' clothes. Right now, discover the ultra-soft styles families swear by. Visit littlesleepies.com and find your new favorite pajamas today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Hot Take. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is our One Heat Minute Productions new release show where we chat about movies that are just out or that are fresh to us. And in Australia, this movie like only just really became available on video on demand. It had a theatrical release internationally and in America. And it is the first time after BlackBerry that I really like got my head around its driving creator and star, Matt Johnson. It is Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. And it is such an unfathomable delight of a thing. I was like, well, I got to get one of my most delightful friends to join me to talk about this thing that I'd never heard of before, never had any clue. It's my dear friend, Connor O'Donnell, the man behind the B-side with Dan Mecca over at the Film Stage. Hey, buddy.
Hey, pal. That was such a nice, I'm touched. It's sort of as touching as this movie can be at times, which is sort of unexpected.
You're like, it's sort of unexpected from you.
Yeah, you're always saying how you hate my guts, so it's just a little, I found this movie to be a total delight. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about it.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about it with you. Folks, listen to the trailer. I don't know if you're going to understand anything about Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie via the trailer. In fact, I don't imagine that in audio it's going to do any justice, but take a listen and then Connor and I are going to come back and talk all about it.
Watch out, watch out!
What's going on here?
Well, this is actually kind of hard to explain.
Time machine plan.
This is going to be the last plan you and I ever have to do. And as far as I'm concerned, Nirvana the band is playing the Rivoli tonight. We have the RV, deck it out like the DeLorean.
God! So it's a full time machine!
Okay, watch this.
Hold on to your butts!
The time machine worked, and we are in 2008.
Oh my God.
Matt, it's 2008.
I told you!
Real goths.
We are trapped. How can we use this
to get a show at the Rivoli?
No, that's secondary now.
This could have insane ramifications.
Oh, Richard.
You really f***ed us up.
I did not do anything. I see. You're like, work's done for the day. We've done too much. It's time to play.
I'm like Teen Wolf. A little bit, right?
There was a holiday!
Come check us out at the Rivoli later.
Do you have a show at the Rivoli?
We could be playing any day.
Right off the bat, they're going to ask for an encore.
Pull over now.
No!
Ladies and gentlemen, you're probably wondering who we are. We are Nirvana the band. If you're watching this in theaters, thank your lucky stars.
Okay, so to set the scene, Matt Johnson and Jay McCarroll are the members of the band, are the two core characters, are the key collaborators. They made a show made a web series from 2007 to 2009, and they did a television adaptation of that same show from 2017 to 2018. So the first one was Nirvana the Band, the show, and then the second one was Nirvana the Band, the show as a television series. And what the entire premise is about is a musical duo called Nirvana with two N's, the band.
Yes, yeah.
Trying to book a gig in the Rivoli in Toronto. And they accidentally send each other back in time, full, like, Back to the Future style. Yeah,
very transparently. Like, very, totally. What do they say in the movie? It'll be a copyright nightmare. yeah, just very transparently, very unabashedly, Back to the Future.
Yeah, back to the Future, even flux capacitor and all, getting sent back, and they go and do their thing. But the movie doesn't just sort of start with that. It starts with a skydive into this from the CN Tower into the Sky Dome during a Blue Jays game that happens as simply as like, oh, do you want to just go get milk? It's like, and you never, well, for the longest time, you don't see them play together. You have no idea if they are musicians. It's just like harebrained scheme after harebrained scheme.
It's very Wile E. Coyote, right? It's very... Well, my question to you, did you have any concept of them prior to this, like
no.
The web series? Okay.
No.
I vaguely remembered the web series, and I knew that it had been a show at some point, but basically the same. I like only kind of remembered them from back in like the late 2000s. And I went into this movie on word of mouth. Like, people were just like,
everyone was talking about it. And Katie Walsh said something like, if you think that a movie that makes me feel nostalgia for the mid 2000s is a movie that I'm going to like, you'd be correct. And I was like, yeah. I got to see this. Mid 2000s. That's a golden age.
And a movie that sort of sneaky has one of the greatest action set pieces of the year so far. Yeah. Like, it's actually insane. And what I think is super fascinating is Neon, who distributed it, their whole, you know, their marketing has been really good. And so, and the whole PR tour for the movie has been really good in terms of, like, you know, they're giving little nuggets of how they do things, right? But if what I realized last night, just kind of combing through interviews in prep for this conversation, is they actually don't give the same answers to some of these questions.
No, I've watched it. They did an interview with a mutual we know, Alexi, Alexi Toliopoulos, and I was watching his one, and that's a wildly different interview than so many others. And in fact, Matt Johnson, most of the time you find him talking about 2006's Miami Vice.
Right. He's happy to talk about it.
My
right?
God.
So
my God.
He'd be right at home here. But no, it's interesting just because I really appreciate, and I know some people online don't, like, I've seen reactions where people are like, no, just like talk about how you did it. And I'm kind of like, I don't know, man. I kind of really like the magic trick of it all, because to me, this is one of the first movies I've watched in a long time. And during that CN Tower skydive sequence, which, as you mentioned, is their sort of the introduction to them and the general concept that's been happening in the web series and in the show, right? And to me, it was the first time in forever that I've watched a movie and gone, oh no, but like, how the fuck did they do that? Like,
I have no idea how they did it. And what is even scarier is, you know, you and I are obsessed with things like Mission Impossible and other like stunt-laden movies like The Raid and Jackie Chan's entire early Hong Kong career, which is just wackadoo. In all of those things, when a big stunt is coming, because you and I have been those people who comb through the behind the scenes or the bloopers and the chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
You see people are nervous.
Right.
And they are both miraculously fully in character. Watched it again like two more times at the when I concluded the movie, and I'm like, I don't quite know how they did that, but I love it. Like, well, the moment when that thing gets cut,
yeah,
at the tower
when they cut the safety harness,
the sphincter tightening, it's like that happens. You just go,
it is true Burj Khalifa sequence from Ghost Protocol in IMAX type shit, where you're like, oh god, and like, because it's all done basically via the tour guide's helmet cam, and for the most part, and it's a really visceral scene. It's super effective, and to me, the fact that I'm asking the question, how they do that, is so much more important than the answer. Like, I yes. don't, I could care
no, I don't
less.
Want to know the answer. It's like, it's like the deflation of a magic trick.
Yes,
like, you know, when you
exactly
find out
that.
When you
it's
find
exactly
out the, that when you find out the math behind a card trick, you're like, oh, that, I mean, you can't but help but have the
right.
I wish I saw that, you know.
I appreciated in that regard. I appreciated the press tour in that sense, that they kind of were giving these cagey answers. Cause, like, yeah, I don't care. Now, granted, I think some of the most interesting behind the scenes stuff about the movie is the copyright fair use doctrine stuff, right?
Yes.
Like that stuff I love as someone who works in post-production. Like, I find that stuff fascinating. And so the logistics of that stuff are really interesting, and I won't go into it. Obviously we don't have a ton of time, but, that's the most interesting stuff in the movie. And I think packed into navigating around that stuff and keeping the magic trick alive, I think the real, and I go two ways on this, but cause sometimes I think editing can almost be anti-comedy, you know, like,
yes.
if you need to cut to make the joke, it might not be a very good joke, right? That said, I would say this movie is an exception to that, or at least an example of something different, where it's not really that the jokes themselves or the things that they're saying are super funny, but this is like one of the best edited movies I've seen in years,
yeah.
Partly because of the trickery that we're talking about that works really well with the archival footage that they have from 2008, right, that they filmed that was unused, but also just like so many beats of like when they know when to get out of a scene, and it just makes it funnier, right?
It reminds me of the peak Arrested Development series, where like,
sure, yeah, yeah,
they knew exactly when to get out of a joke, and sometimes they even, excuse me, tinkered with breaking up a swear word from a character in two scenes where they cut the beginning of that word and then enter the like three scenes later at the end of the word, so that there's no completed swear in this. And it reminded me of. And not in a similar comedy style necessarily, because it's all, you know, they've got their own unique style, but just that editorial awareness of exactly when you can make a joke 100 times better by exiting quickly out of something. Like, you just, there's just like a seamlessness to that. And that's why I'm so fascinated. I got myself this copy of The Dirties. As a result from Umbrella. And I just watched this, and it felt to me it was engaging with parody in a way that you usually is reserved for things like South Park, The Simpsons, or Family Guy in like the worst ways, you know, like where they can use references and they can have characters and they can do that. But like, this is like a living cartoon, but it's anchored in this kind of really beautiful, honest thing of two guys who've had wasted potential. Which, like, it just, for people like you and I, it's like, oh, that way.
It hits hard.
It smashes you, right? Like, and they love each other, and they just love this thing they do. Like, they didn't go to great heights. They didn't do this thing. But it's like that them being together is what matters. And so I...
That off-screen line of, if you have a best friend, you don't notice you're getting older. Oh.
Oh.
It breaks my heart. It's so good. Anyway, sorry, go on.
No, that's a good one. Like, but that's the thing, because you still both, or you act like idiots, you know, you still laugh like, and I love that it's always this beautiful, like, all right, what's the next scheme? Like, I just love that, what's the next scheme? I feel I have a lot of that. What's the next scheme? And everyone's like, do we have to keep doing all these heists? Do we have to? Yes. Yes. That's what we do. We've got this great crew. We've got to do
it
again.
It's the scheming of the thing. You know, it's, you know, like, it's why, you know, it's why the coyote can't catch the roadrunner, right?
Yes.
It's like, what would Wile E. Coyote even do if he caught the roadrunner?
He wouldn't
right?
know
like,
what to do.
He would have no idea, right? And so it's why it obviously can never end with a show at the Rivoli. But I think what also hits hard, what's quietly sentimental about the movie, just in its form, right, is like if they were, and they had, I've in some of the interviews I saw, they mentioned this, that they had, you know, they had experimented with like a little bit of makeup work to try and get themselves to look a little younger, and it just like wasn't working.
No.
And so their two editors, who were longtime fans, basically combed through all their footage and they built back from the archival footage that they found and could use. And so the editors almost like started editing the movie and then told them like, cool, this is your story. And this is like how you can fit the beats together. Right. And I think that's partially responsible for the sentimentality because you seeing them younger just kind of quietly hits in a way that would not hit if they just cast younger versions of themselves or tried to make themselves look younger or whatever, right? Like the fact that like you're doing these, you know, you have the cold open on them in 2008 and then you're doing, you know, there's that, speaking of good editing, there's that great gag of the smash cut to the 17 years later thing after he's like, I think everything's going to work out great. And then 17 years later, right? Like that's an easy joke, but it's a good one. Right. And, but that cutting straight to them older does give you this moment of like, oh wow. Like time, you know, and circumstance and all these things that change the way people are. And at the same time, they still have the same mannerisms. They still have the same, you know, it's fascinating.
It's the reason why Clerks 2 goes down like a gorgeous tonic. It's like,
it's very similar. Yeah. It's very
like
similar.
That Clerks 2 of it all. It's like, you know, and I say that with love because that was made right in this time. Like Clerks 2 is like back then.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's like a mid-2000s thing.
Mid-2000s thing. And I just watch it and I just like, and I say it with the maximum level of compliment, right? Like I'm not that person who's going to be snooty about it. Like Clerks 2 works for me, like gangbusters still works for me this day. And it's that thing of like, you know, there was a thing with, it was a lie that some of us started to get told in that 2000s, like you got to go big, you got to kick this old hometown in the dirt. And so, and sometimes it's like, no, I just want to be happy. I love my friends.
Yeah.
I want to live my life. I want to have a good time. You know, I don't need everything. I'd like to just like live comfortably, you know,
contentment sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could like go on adventures with people we like and have fun and do things that feel good. And like, and so seeing the guys older, that's what makes it. Cause it's like, there's mileage, but also the nonsense is still there. And I'm so guilty of this with my own friend group. Like my own friend group at home is like, we've got a crew of people that sometimes insufferably, I imagine for other people, like when there's a party and we're all there, we're all together.
Right. Yeah.
All the time. And then sometimes like new friends, like, or like people come in and after a while you're just kind of like, hey, yeah, it's nice to see you. And then you go back and talk to your friends and people are like, and my wife always sort of jokes. She's like, we never like, you know, like we don't go and like mingle with other people. Like, oh, I don't care. Like with love,
all respect to those,
all
other
the respect
people.
To the people, but I've got like 10 of my best friends here. I want to see how they're doing, what they've been up to. Like I love all these people to death. So I want to go hang with them. And so you get this weird thing where you're like, I loved their relationship. I loved the nostalgia of this. I loved the orchestration of it. And it's kind of this miraculous thing that I saw. And for me as a complete outsider and not having any context of the show before, and I didn't do my homework. I just, again, same as you, word of mouth. I just was like, I'm going at it.
Yeah.
I was so shocked by how hard it hit. Like,
same.
And how strong it was. And I was like, oh, this experience, these guys, their love, their smarts, their like insight, that kind of like the silliness of their kind of shtick. Again, hugely complimentary. I just thought it was really special. So like,
and I think they have an acute awareness of how they come off.
Yes.
Right. I think that's crucial, especially to viewers like you and I, who do not have some embedded fandom for this thing. Right. So, you know, you get Matt Johnson and, you know, if you were someone who like us was, you know, watching things on the internet in the mid 2000s, you know, the kind of guy he is, like comedy wise, right, out of the gate. And then when you see him older, like he is grating. He is annoying. That's like part of the thing.
That's and he means it. That's what, right,
and he means
what's
it,
even
right?
worse is people who are annoying and they don't mean it.
And they don't know, but
but
he has,
Matt loves it.
He and the movie have such an acute awareness of that like Jay McCarroll comes off, you know, he's obviously sort of half the villain of the movie in a way,
yes, yeah.
right? But he comes off as deeply relatable because you're like, oh yeah, this 17 years with this guy, like you, like,
oh my god, you're like, this guy must drive you nuts.
And he still, you know, when you see, it's so nice because he plays basically the straight man, but it's what makes those moments of play that you're talking about where he still kind of gets a little excited about certain things. It makes them so wonderful when you see them. And I think kind of just the way it's constructed, McCarroll comes off to me as like kind of like a sneaky great actor in the movie in that regard, because like everything about his reactions feels to me so deeply like correctly observed.
Yeah. And like, for people who may not have seen Blackberry, which is a terrific movie from a couple of
more,
years ago.
More fun than you think it would be based on like other movies you think it might be like.
Yes.
But it's not.
So much more fun. It's Matt Johnson's real, like Matt looks like a real, they look like real people. So having like a real person who's got that tone, who's got that act, who's kind of a blowhard, but also like, has these really incisive moments in the movie. You're like, he's the realest thing in the movie. Like some of the artifice around the movie can wane a little as the movie goes on, but like he is fucking outstanding. And like the one note you walk out of that movie, you're like, yeah, it was really entertaining and I really enjoyed it. And also that guy is great. Like whoever that guy is, like, I don't know. I didn't know too much about him at the time, but man alive, I really enjoyed this movie. It's completely silly, farcical. It's just bits on bits on bits. And I had
it's
no
like
context.
90 minutes long. Moves like a bullet. Yeah.
Exactly. It's so worthwhile. So just like particularly for anyone in Oz, I know in the States, there's probably going to be like a Neon physical media release, which I'm going to try and get my hands on at some point. But it is available on video on demand in Australia. So if you've got like your Apple TV or whatever service that you use, like, I went out of my way to buy it immediately so that I could watch it, and because of the great word of mouth, and I was not disappointed. In fact, I was more annoyed that I didn't get to watch it with maybe some more people who were more familiar, so I could like really sink into its vibe.
The weekend it came out, I saw it, and I, again, kind of just on a whim because I had heard good things, and to sit in a theater with an audience watching this movie was a gift. Like,
oh, just
to
that's
to
my,
howl
my big regret.
With an audience. Yeah,
I hope that there is some theater in Sydney that eventually has a screening and some like-minded kind of like Aussies who are familiar with the show go along, and I can just be that kind of like a loner that goes and tags in and like it gets to be part of that joy. That's my only regret. This movie's terrific and yeah, hits like a ton of bricks, and it has made me want to continue my habit of hanging with my friends and waiting for my iPhone photos to show us memories of us getting older. Hanging out together at the same parties. I like it. I really like it.
Little Sleepies makes getting your kids dressed a lot easier. Their signature bamboo fabric is incredibly soft, breathable, and gentle on sensitive skin. It stretches so kids can move comfortably all day, from playtime to bedtime. Parents love the smart details too, like double zippers and fold-over mittens that make diaper changes and getting dressed faster and easier. And because Little Sleepies are designed to grow with your child, they last longer than typical kids' clothes. Right now, discover the ultra-soft styles families swear by. Visit littlesleepies.com and find your new favorite pajamas today.